Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Lou from Crossbridge Community Church. We want to welcome you, and we hope this service blesses your heart. Again, I want to thank the praise people for helping me out today. As we worship today, I pray we just take a moment and confess anything that may be on our hearts that may block our worship today. So why don't we do that? Father, would you clear our hearts today? Help bring to any remembrance anything that might block us from worshiping you in spirit and truth. And Father, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
Good singing. Mm-hmm. For our call to worship today, I chose Psalm 8, the first four verses. If you have them in front of you, or if you can read it on screen, would you join me, please? Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praises of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avengers. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you should be mindful of them? Human beings, that you would care for them. The creator of the universe cares for us very deeply. He cares for you. As a deer pants in the woods, so we should hunger for God in His presence.
Thank you.
You can join me in scripture reading if you wish. As we read the word of the Lord, I hope that this blesses your heart. We're going to talk about the issue of doubting today. And we're going to look at Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. So the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this in the Gospel of John, starting at verse 24 of chapter 20. It says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." This is post-resurrection, by the way. "So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed.' Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we pray again that we would yield to the Holy Spirit. Have him speak to us today through the music, through prayer, through the word. Encourage us, convict us where we need conviction, and comfort us when we need comfort. Father, I want to pray for all of those who are watching. Father, whether there's a need physically, emotionally, spiritually, pray you touch them at the point of need. And Father, I want to keep our health workers, our retail workers, the truck drivers, delivery people, pharmacists, funeral directors, all those who are still dealing with the public serving us, Father. We pray for them, protect them, and bless them. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I've shared this song before. I'm going to share it again today.
I keep coming back to this song because I think it's so important. It's about hope. It talks about hope. And the world right now is in many ways hopeless, yes. But those of us that know the Lord know that through all this, through everything that we're going through, and we're going through a lot more personally than what's going on worldwide. So we've all got our own battles, our own burdens, if you will. And this song speaks about that, that even though you may not feel like it, God is with you. Jesus is with us. And no matter what, our hope is in him. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Thank you. So take hope, my friends. That isn't a wonderful message.
God is good, right? God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. All right.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but the praise team was a blessing to me today, and I hope it was a blessing to you. As we look into the scriptures today, read the passage before about Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. And we're going to look at the issue of doubt today, because I think in every journey of a Christ follower, there's times that we go through times of doubt. I honestly don't think that's a bad thing. And let me just distinguish something for you. There are different types of doubt. There's legitimate concerns and questions, but that person who has the legitimate concern and questions is still open to discussion and proof. Thomas, the doubter, is that type of doubter. There's a person who doubts just for the sake of arguing. And usually, that's a harder person to get through, but because they're usually not open. Unfortunately, some bad teaching and preaching in some churches don't give any room for people who have legitimate concerns or doubts. That especially impacts our young people. Because our young people have to go through a process where they begin to own their own faith. And part of that is expressing some doubt, some concerns, raising questions. Whenever I am in a Bible study or a Sunday school class that I'm leading, I always tell people there's no such thing as a dumb question. It is natural for people to doubt. It is natural for people to raise questions. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, as I tell you this, I can tell you that if you ever read any of the biography of Mother Teresa, she went through some dark times in her life, doubting. And as she came to God honestly with those doubts, he gently led her through each one. She borrowed a term from some of the mystics and some of the old saints, and she called those times the dark night of the soul. And usually when we come through those times with God leading us, with God nurturing us, we come out stronger with him and a deeper relationship with him. There are also other great saints of old who have expressed this. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived, Charles Spurgeon, dealt with doubt and depression all the time. So it was nothing new. And as he dealt with it, he came before God, and God brings him through. So now we have Thomas. Thomas, who had been walking with the Lord for 3.5 years, sees his master die on the cross. And we know something about Thomas's heart, because repeatedly in the Gospels, we find out that Thomas was willing to go with the Lord and die with him. Now, that's a pretty good statement and a bold statement. I actually think he would have done it. But now, as far as he knows, the Lord's still in the grave. He hasn't know that the Lord is risen. So he's a doubter. And I want to just look at a couple of concepts with him about the issues of doubt, because John gives us some great insights. He says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus. Didymus, by the way, is Greek. It means twin. So Thomas had a brother. One of the 12, excuse me, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So when Jesus came the first time, Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples said, we have seen the Lord. Well, of course, Thomas doesn't believe him. Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thank you. I will not believe. So Thomas was kind of stern in his doubt. Excuse me for one second. And he expressed his doubt. The one thing I respect about Thomas here is the fact that he did it honestly. He didn't try to hide it, but he did it honestly. But I want you to notice a common mistake that people make when they're going through difficult times and times of doubting. He stayed away from the fellowship. That was the first thing. He stayed away from the fellowship. He tried to handle the doubt alone. And it doesn't work out well. It's a common mistake. I see people, when they go through hard times all the time, they will withdraw from the fellowship of the church. They will withdraw from the fellowship of other believers. And they try to handle the doubt on their own. And usually they end up getting more mired and stuck in that doubt. They try to rely on their own wisdom and understanding rather than being open to God's leading. And they ignore loving, godly people who are around them who might be able to come alongside of them and encourage them. I am a firm believer in the local church. I'm a firm believer in it. And I believe that when we choose to remove ourselves from the fellowship of a local church, we're putting ourselves in more danger, even in times of doubt. So, if anything this passage teaches us, it should teach us never to back off from the fellowship, stay engaged, even through doubt. And if we have our heads on straight as Christ followers, we will give people room to ask questions and doubt. I really think doubting is part of the process of learning. I think it's part of the process of discipleship. You remember John the Baptist, when he was jailed for speaking the gospel, speaking Christ's name. He had a time of doubt, a serious time of doubt. He sent out a messenger from jail saying to go ask Jesus if he's really the Messiah. And Jesus sent back a simple message. He says, look around and see. And Jesus says of John, after he was martyred for his faith, there is no one greater. Amazing. He was a doubter. And so we need not to make that common mistake to withdraw from fellowship, to try to handle that on our own, to kind of divorce ourselves from the fellowship that is really there to love us and nurture to us. If we are honest with each other, every one of us has gone through a time of doubt. We've gone through times where our faith is shaken. We've gone to times where we say, is this real or am I just wasting my time? And if we don't, we're lying to ourselves. And so don't make the mistake of trying to handle it alone and withdraw from the fellowship. The second thing I see here is that through the process, we need to keep an open mind and heart to Jesus. I want to just go on with you. It says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. He finally came and decided to spend time with them. This reminds me of people who say to me, I didn't feel like coming to church today, but you know, when I got there, I was blessed. You know why? Because somehow they met Jesus. They met Jesus, and Jesus met them. So he was there, and Jesus, what did he do? He meets the doubter right at the point of need. Through the doors, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. I'm trying to imagine Thomas's reaction. His jaw must have dropped at that point. Then he said to Thomas, how gracious Jesus is. He didn't have to do this. How gracious he is, where he says, look, Thomas, here are my hands. Put your fingers in my wounds. See that they're real. Reach your hand and put it in my side. Wow. And then he says to Thomas this phrase, stop doubting and believe. In the original language, it would read this way. You have been doubting, stop it, and stop doubting forever. Here I am. And so you see at this point, when Thomas was finally confronted with Jesus, his reaction. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. It's the only response that we can have when God breaks through the doubt. George MacDonald wrote this one time. He says, doubt is the hammer that breaks through the window clouded with human fancies and lets the pure light in. In other words, sometimes doubt can cloud our minds. And when we bring that doubt honestly to God, when we remain connected with the fellowship, at some point, if we remain and have open minds and hearts to Jesus, He'll break through that doubt. And we have to trust him in the process. Some people get impatient. They want it to happen overnight. God doesn't usually work that way. He usually works in process. You know why? Because there's something else he wants to teach us through this journey. He wants to teach us how much he loves us. He wants to teach us how much he cares for us. He wants to teach us, even though we have doubts, he still loves us and he's still there for us. Ask honest questions and make honest statements. Jesus will break through with his truth and light. What grace. I keep reflecting on that scene where Jesus says to Thomas, "Look, you doubt? Here's my hands." There's a song, it's an old hymn that was written many years ago. And the verse in this hymn says, "And now for me he stands before the Father's throne and shows his wounded hands and names me as his own." That's an incredible line. That happens every moment, by the way, in heaven. Because Satan is still active and Satan wants to say, "Yeah, you see Lou down there? He's not one of yours. He's still sinning. He's still perfect. He's still doubting." And Jesus stands before the Father and says, "No, Father, I died for him. I love him. And now for me," Jesus stands before the Father's thrones and shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. You see, Thomas experienced a personal touch from Jesus. Have we experienced those moments when God gives us a personal touch? If we have, and I know we have, those are incredibly precious moments. You need to savor them and reflect on them when times get tough again. The last point I want to draw out of this passage is this, is that when you work through your doubt, be lovingly obedient to God. As even in the process, be lovingly obedient to God. Because here's what will happen when God finally breaks through with his truth and grace and shatters that doubt. You will worship. What did Thomas do? He just fell on his face and he said, "My Lord and my God." In Revelation chapter 5, we see the throne room of heaven where the elders are worshiping. And every one of them lay their crowns, their rewards at the foot of the throne of Christ, the risen Christ. Here we have the risen Christ also. And they just fall on their faces and worship. And they continue to worship. Worship needs to be a celebration of the deity and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doubt helps us to come to a point where we can worship with a humble heart when we see the grace of Jesus Christ from a personal touch in our lives. With an obedient heart, mind, and will, we can worship God and we can stop doubting. Now, does that mean that we will stop doubting forever? Probably not. Because things will happen in life. Life will come hard sometimes. Remember, we completed James not too long ago. "Consider it all joy, brethren, when trials and temptations come into your life." Wow, what a statement. Consider it all joy. Not if, but when. So they will happen. And we need to go forward by faith. Jesus says to Thomas these words, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you believed. But blessed or happy or joyous are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. That's us. Blessed are those. So how are we doing today? Let me encourage you first, do we give liberty to people who have legitimate doubt? If somebody expresses doubt to you, don't try to shut that down. Try to listen, hear what they're saying, and point them back to the grace of God. But everyone, at one time or another, has legitimate doubt. Do we give liberty to ourselves when we have legitimate doubts? Are we honest about our doubts to God and ourselves? Are we willing to approach our doubt with an open mind and heart to Jesus? When Jesus, through the Word and the Holy Spirit, breaks through the doubt, are we willing to worship Him and go forward in loving obedience by faith? We're in hard times right now. When I talk to some people on the phone, some friends of mine, sometimes through emails or Facebook or whatever medium we use, there are people who are worried about their jobs. There are people who are concerned how they're going to pay the rent or the mortgage. There are people who are concerned about their health. There are people who are going through some very, very deep times. Listen, the answer is not to pull away from Jesus or from one another. The answer is to go through this with Jesus. One day, hopefully, in the near future, we'll be together again. And in person, not this way, but in person. And when that day happens, we're going to have a great celebration. We really are. We're going to have a great celebration. It's going to be good to be with one another again. Because even though sometimes I can see you over the computer or FaceTime or whatever medium, even though it's not the same, there's something special about being together. The last thought I want to leave you with is this. If you're watching today and you need a fresh touch from God because your faith has been shaking or you have doubt, be honest with Him. Tell Him. And at some point, He's going to meet you at the point of your need. Amen?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Thank you for watching today. We're going to close the service with another song. So if you're willing, sing along for us. It's a familiar one that you will know.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you all. We miss you all. And you have a great day.